You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I'm absolutely thrilled you're here with me on this fine day. I'm not alone, though. I have a good friend and co-host here. My good friend and co-host is Mr. Don Longbeard. Welcome, brother.
Thank you, sir. Always nice to be here in the studio with you.
It's nice to have you here, only for the extra heat. I'm just kidding. It's already warm in here. It's going to be a hot summer in this studio, dude.
It is, yeah. It's a little bit different than the last one, yeah. It's a little smaller.
Yeah, it is.
It's but a little more...
little more cozy.
Yeah.
It is, but it looks so much better down here. For those of you that are listening to the podcast, you don't really know how it looks, but if you go to youtube.com/paranormalportal, you can see live feeds of the show and see our studio set up, and it's real fun. Really fun. I like it, and it's getting better all the time. So, but tonight we're going to talk to you guys about dark entities and shadow people, and this is the thing that I think a lot of people get wrong, and the reason that I think they get it wrong is simply because I think that people assume that any haunting is an evil haunting,
right?
And I don't think that that's the case at all. Now, We as human beings in our 3D world and 3D sensibilities don't really always understand how to comprehend a spiritual presence. We don't understand why is my cereal bowl moving and it shouldn't be. Right. They don't usually move themselves, but there goes my cereal bowl. It's moving. I'm freaked out. I run from the house screaming, et cetera, et cetera. Which, because it elicits fear, I think people have a tendency to go, well, it made me afraid. That makes it bad.
Right.
You know, and my theory on it is kind of involved. And this is something that we'll discuss throughout the course of the show. But my theory is that probably the high 90 percentile of hauntings are not indeed evil entities, that they are presences. And I think that in some cases, they are trying desperately in some manner to communicate or at least to get some kind of acknowledgement. Now, in some cases, and this goes into my theory about, you know, what's going on in these ghosts' experience. So put yourself in the experience of the ghost. You've just died. You maybe don't even know you just died.
Right.
But all of a sudden nobody's acknowledging you. You're in your home and nobody's coming over to see you. No, you know, nothing's the same as it was. All of a sudden you're just not having any interaction at all.
Your wife tries to sit on you while you're in your favorite chair.
Yeah. Your wife suddenly is ignoring you, which may or may not be a paranormal at all. Depends on your marriage, but, in a lot of cases that might be absolutely normal, but, for the case of our example, you know, spouse, significant other, family members are no longer addressing you, no longer acknowledging you. You're in a state where you don't understand. Suddenly your family is gone. They've moved mm-hmm. or passed on, or their time is over. You're still in this home, but nothing's making sense, and you're trying desperately to understand. Well, then new people move in, and they're not asking to come over. They're not saying, hey, can I come into your house? They show up and start redoing the wallpaper and, changing everything, maybe some construction. You're freaking out because none of this is making sense. And so you're working and working and screaming and yelling. Nobody's hearing you. Nobody's responding. But, you know, you figure out, hey, I can move things. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I can move things, and I'm doing it with my mind or whatever. So you move things because you want to be acknowledged. You want to have a presence. Now, this is a really dramatic explanation. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I try to understand, because we do know that in many cases, people that have passed on don't always know they've passed on.
Right.
And you have to understand the kind of confusion that they must be in, the kind of desperate loneliness that they must be dealing with. Maybe some of them desperately want help. They want to tell their story. They want to just have it known that you're there, or that they're there. And so they reach out in the only methods that they have available, which may be moving a chair. It may be
knocking pictures off the wall.
Yeah, knocking a picture off the wall. It may be freaking your dog out.
Right.
You know, that's the only thing, because for some reason your dog or cat is noticing you all the time. And so you start freaking the cat out because you want somebody to know you're there. And so in a lot of cases, those attempts can come off for the living as very threatening. Mm-hmm. And from our perspective, things aren't supposed to move by themselves, but they are. And what does that mean? Well, I can't move things with my mind, but this is moving all by itself. Nothing's touching it. I'm now scared. I now feel vulnerable. I now feel that, you know, I'm way out of my element, way out of my paradigm. And, you know, of course, we've all been Hollywooded to death.
Right.
You know, when it comes to spirits. And happy spirit stories don't really work out real well in Hollywood. So everything's sensational and over the top, and it's spooky and scary. And we have the Halloween thing. So, you know, we have a tendency to view any kind of presence or hauntings as these dark things. Well, if they were good, and then comes our paradigms, our religious paradigms. If they were good, they wouldn't be here,
right?
You know, because they would have gone home to the angels, or, you know, they'd be in heaven or Elysium, or, you know, whatever your version, Valhalla, you know, they would be off from this world. And so I think that when we realize there's a presence here, we think that there's something wrong with that presence because it shouldn't be here. But my theory is that spirits can choose to stay, and maybe they stayed for a lot of different reasons, you know? You know what I mean, Don?
Right, yeah.
So I think that at the point of our death, perhaps we have a choice. You will see a light. You will see this tunnel or whatever. You can choose to go to the light. But say, for instance, you've passed away. You know that you've passed away, and you still have a family that you love, and you feel like, well, if I go, they're going to be alone. I won't be here. I gotta stick around to take care of them, you know? And so you may realize that you're dead, but you stick around because you love these people so much.
Right.
And the idea of leaving them all by themselves is just terrifying. So, you know, they may end up staying and then kind of get stuck because they don't see that light anymore and they don't remember how to get to it. And so then they become stuck. And then the other story parts happen where, you know, your family moves on. They pass over themselves, and maybe you didn't catch the ride that you were hoping to catch with them or something, you know. Like it's a taxi, right, Don?
Right, exactly. Hey, don't leave me behind.
Hey, come on. I was waiting for you for 15 years, for God's sake.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, but you're right. You know, I mean, it's interesting. You know, as me being the skeptic, you know, I you know, if your cereal boom moves across the table or your glass moves, it's condensation. It's called trapped air under the glass or whatever it may be, and condensation, that kind of thing. Scientific type of explanation, basic, but still scientific. And it's an explanation, but when, you know, how would you know, you know, how would you know if there was an entity in that house, you know? And once again, let's go back to why they're there. Who knows why they're there, you know? And like right. You said, you know, somebody moves in and it's like, who the hell are these people?
Right.
You know, so it would be a lonely existence.
It would be
frustrating.
And I think that that in a lot of cases, so you have a house and you realize that you have a presence for whatever reason, you have a presence. And we've discussed why mm-hmm. they could be there on a prior show, that, you know, it might be an item you bought that has an attachment. It might be they are already there before you got there, or maybe they just wandered in because you remind them of someone they loved or knew, you know, so they followed you for whatever reason. They're there. In the case of something moved, is it condensation or is it a spirit? I think that it can also, anybody in touch with their you know, energetic self to any level will probably feel that as much as see it.
More like empathy kind of thing?
Yeah, like you're going to feel that change in the energy, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And I think that most people are empathetic. Whether or not they're tuned into it is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But I think people definitely, I really definitely believe that people have that ability within them. It's just whether or not they've tuned into that part of themselves or not.
Right.
Some people, again, it's just like psychic. Some people are naturally tuned into the empathy and that energy, and other people aren't. So I think in those cases, most people would feel it on some level. But here's the thing. You know, we're talking about dark entities and dark things.
Right.
It is my belief that if you are really confronted by something dark, that you are going to know it throughout your whole being. And I don't know if it's a primal part of ourselves, that there's a primal awareness that's maybe it's a genetic memory. Perhaps it's just an ability we've never really tuned into. But if you're in the presence of really something horrible and evil, and maybe or maybe this isn't the case, but I think in spiritually I'm talking.
Right.
Of course, you know, there's so many stories of, God, I live right next to the serial killer and he was the nicest guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not talking in every case, but I'm talking about a dark energy, because if it's really a dark energy, they are going to emanate this darkness and this evil. You're going to feel it. And I think anyway, and not exclusively, not always, but I believe that you're going to know it's dark pretty soon.
Right.
You know, there's going to be no question at some point, like, hey, the cereal bowl move, that's weird. Maybe it's not bad. Maybe it's good. I don't know. Maybe it's evil. I don't know. But, oh, wait, I'm getting scratched. Okay. The verdict is in. It's not good.
It's not good.
You know? For whatever reason, you're getting scratched. That's something that definitely has to stop.
Right.
But I think that the confusion comes in, you know, whether it's a religious paradigm, whether it's, you know, just the fact of it's an unknown, and that terrifies people. But it definitely reshapes people's paradigms and causes them a lot of stress and can you know, fundamentally change the way they view the world. You know, I don't know how many stories we've covered on the show of, I never believed in ghosts, but, you know, then and this happened and wow, you know, I mean, their whole life was redefined to an extent. And, you know, so I think we're quick to judge these situations as negative. I don't believe that the majority of them are.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, they may just want to tell their story so it's not forgotten. And if they find a way that they can relay that information, share what happened to them, share that piece of their life, whether it's, you know, if perhaps somebody reached a tragic end at the hands of another person, they want someone to know. I mean, they feel that they were robbed of something, and they were. You know, and so if there can be justice in some measure, or the person that did it got caught, or, you know, whatever, that could certainly release that part of them and then they could go. But they're going to try awful hard to get that story across, and it may come across as really spooky. So I think that we have a tendency to say if it's a haunting, you know, I mean, the word haunting is, of course, not a real bright word. You know, it means that something is terrifying or scary. And, you know, when I hear that word, it's like, ooh, a haunting, you know, who wants to live in the haunted house, you know? But I think we misjudge that because we just can't communicate clearly with these beings.
Right.
You know, they certainly can't sit down and have coffee with you and share their story. And that's one of the reasons I'm really, you know, I really have a great admiration for psychics that can communicate. You know, if they truly can. I mean, there's a lot of charlatans out there, but there's a lot of really profoundly talented people in communicating with the deceased.
Right. Yeah.
But there are different kinds of these entities. So I think for the non, you know, the ones that were human and have passed on, 90% of them are going to be, you know, just trying to do what they're doing. For some reason, they're lingering. And oftentimes, if you address that and say, hey, I know you're here. I realize you're here. I appreciate that you have a desire to be here. If you're, you know, if you're good and light and loving and protective of this home and this family and the people in it, then you're welcome to stay. Or, well, I mean, you got to fill in your own blanks. But,
yeah.
But if you have evil intent, ill intent, you want to cause harm or are malicious and dark, you need to go. You are not allowed to be here. Now, some people listening to that may say, well, maybe they'll just tell you they're good and they're really not. But I think it works differently in a spiritual sense, because when you are admonishing that, it has, your words have an energy to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirits are going to react to that. They know their truth. They know if they're evil or if they're good. You know, I think for the most part, they know they want to cause harm, or they know that they're just, you know, hanging out because right. they got nowhere else to go. And so the words become, you know, I don't know how to say this without sounding a little occulty, but they become a spell in, mm-hmm. in a sense. You are casting a version of a spell. Like, if you are good and kind and light and nice and protective and loving, you're welcome to stay, but here's the rules.
Right.
But if you are dark, evil, have ill intent, you're malevolent, trying to cause harm or undo anything that is loving and good, then you must go. So that becomes a spell of sorts.
Yes.
And people that may make some people cringe because it's like, well, I'm not casting spells. Well, every time you talk, you know, in the truest sense of the word, you are casting a spell of some kind. You tell your child you love them. Well, that's a loving spell in a sense. You are casting words into creation that are carrying an energy to them and are received by someone. And if you tell someone that they suck and you hate them,
yep.
that is a spell as well, you know, in the truest sense of the word. Now, I'm not trying to say, hey, surprise everybody, you're all occultists. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Your words have power.
Period. Words have power. That's exactly what I'm saying. And so, you know, when you look at biblical texts and stuff and it says, you know, let no unclean words pass your mouth, that doesn't mean cuss words. Because,
right.
you know, oh, you're a bastard. You know, that's a joking thing. It may be received by some people as, oh, they hear that word. Oh, that's a terrible thing to say to somebody. But if you're talking to your buddy, it's not an unclean word. It's just a communication. So it comes it comes from the heart, you know.
Right.
The heart is what creates either clean or unclean words. And so, you know, it's best always not to cast out negativity and darkness in your words. Because, you know, there's many that believe that is perhaps karmic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to go off on this whole side tangent, but my point is that when you're addressing spirits, I believe that the words carry power if they're, you know, if you're very sincere and if you're adamant about what you're saying, that they have power and that the spirits may respond. Now, those words alone may not get rid of them, but it is going to create a binding of sorts.
Right.
It's going to have an effect. And, They're not going to appreciate it much if they are indeed dark, and they may lash out, or they may, you know, the activity may escalate as a result. But there are resources at that point. Then you escalate your response by getting help,
mm-hmm.
you know. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to the show and you're experiencing something dark and horrible and it's scaring you, get in touch with us. We have several researchers and psychics that are happy to help. Paranormal researchers and psychics, they've extended themselves and said, if anybody needs help and they're in my area, I'd be happy to help them. The psychics don't need to be in your area, but there's no charge for any of it. So if you're dealing with something dark and need help, let us know, because I will get you in touch with somebody that should be able to help you. And if that person can't, then we'll keep going until we do get you the help you need.
Right.
But so the ones that were human, I think that 90%, as I was saying before, are not dark. They're not harmful. They're not really trying to cause problems. They're just trying to sort through whatever the hell's going on. And like most people, you walk down the street, people don't throw punches at you just because you're near.
Right.
You know, people are just like doing their thing. They just don't want to be messed with, and they don't want to mess with you. They're just trying to get through their day. And I think that the same carries through afterlife. But there are other things that do. And Don, I know that you have some information on probably one of the most popular
right
dark entities and that is shadow people.
Shadow people, yeah. You know, there's a lot of people who report shadow people, and there's so many different ways to look at that kind of entity. And a lot of people say, well, I don't know where it came from. It's following me, because people report seeing them on the street. Mm-hmm. People report them following them home or here and there. But a lot of people say that they wake up, you know, and it always makes me laugh. It was about 3 a.m. and I woke up and I'm like, yeah, 3 a.m. OK, great. Mm-hmm. But they see out of the corner of their eye or over by the doorway or, you know, frame silhouetted against the nightlight in the bathroom, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. Now, I know that I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, looked up, went, ah, what the hell is that? And it's my jacket that I don't remember putting there, because that's not where I put my jacket, hanging sure. on the closet door, you mm-hmm. know. So, you know, I kind of really look at these things with a grain of salt. There's a lot of people that don't have explanations. Then there's some people that I've listened to through the years, a couple people on Art Bell that I've, you know, listened to. And some people say that they are actually entities that come to you when you're releasing negative energies. Mm. And they basically feast on those energies. And so that's what they're eating. So if you haul around negative energy with you all the time, they're always with you. Mm. But if you purge, you know, and you use words in a proper way to purge those negative things, and you do it instead of letting it stew or build up in you, then you have less of a chance of having these negative creatures follow you around. Mm-hmm. Well, now these are what I would call negative creatures, negative yes. entities. Yep. You know, we read so many stories. I've got a story here. It says, we moved an old house to a new location a few years ago. Weird but non-malevolent things started taking place, such as our names being called and thumps. A few years ago, my daughter and I began seeing tall shapes in the hall, tall dark shapes in the hall. It could be seen with peripheral vision, and it would walk quickly away. We never felt any evil from it, but it was rather scary. It was rather scary anyway. We picked up a small dog someone had left in the road and brought it home with us. After that, we didn't see it. It was as though the dog had scared it away. Our cat didn't seem to be able to accomplish that. Hmm. After the dog died, it reappeared, and now I also see a small figure. It's roughly the daughter's height, and I would initially think it was her. However, I realized it was another shadow figure. Again, it's always out of the corner of my eye. My daughter is 18, and she's been seeing the taller one again, not the small one. I would like them gone. I think it's creepy to have these things in our house. I have not seen them in my son's room. He lives in another town. My daughter's friend says something touched her on the cheek one night in that room. I get a sense that I'm being watched in that room, and I don't like it. I use the room for my office, but it must be, I use the room for my office and must be in it. And I hate the sense of something else being in there with me, kind of like the studio. I'm too old for the creeps. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this one was just something they were seeing, you know, mm-hmm. it wasn't actually doing anything. So, you know, it's just one of those things. In this case, I would just simply say it was the jacket hanging on the closet where you don't normally put it.
Sure.
But there have been other ones where people wake up and there's this dark entity leaning on them or, you know, touching them. They wake up and they look up and they see this dark creature and it's touching their head or their shoulder, you know, or something mm-hmm. like that, or even holding them down. You know, so, yeah, those are creepy, creepy, creepy ones.
They are. Let's see. We got a couple minutes before we should take our break. But I do want to get into some of the misidentification for those as well. But now shadow people, that is an interesting take on it. And I know you shared that with me before about mm-hmm. them perhaps being more utilitarian. They're right. drawing out negativity. They're feeding on that. And I suppose that if that is the case, and I know that that's a First Nations belief that comes from, and I think that's wonderful. It actually creates a use for these beings,
yeah.
You know, and in the whole big picture of balance and all of that. And I think that that's really cool. I would like to think that these things all have a purpose. I don't always understand what that is. But to think that they are coming in and perhaps releasing you from some of that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's wonderful. That's brilliant. Of course, everyone hasn't had real positive experiences. Now, I've heard Amy Allen of the Dead Files say that that's about the worst type of haunting you can have is shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know exactly where she's coming at from that, but apparently they use portals of some kind.
Right.
Or vortexes, or I think they are portals. But they apparently will essentially infest a place, and they're about impossible to get rid of. If you have a shadow people infestation, for lack of a better term, they may never be able to be gotten rid of. And that's a pretty terrible idea that you'd be stuck with them. You know, I don't know a whole lot about Amy Allen, but I've watched The Dead Files for quite a while. And I think that she's, you know, for what I can derive from an edited TV show, I think that she's generally pretty solid on what she's reading. And she's actually talked about things that I've never heard of before. And so I've actually learned quite a bit watching the show, if indeed what she's saying is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the show. I think they do a great thing. They go into these terribly negative hauntings, and they work to at least help the people address it and learn how they can approach it in order to clean that environment and get it, you know, get it back to normal if that's possible. Now, I will say that there has been many times watching that show is like, no, there's nothing you can do to get rid of this. You need to leave. <You know>? And what a horrible feeling that would be, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
What a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, it starts to make you wonder, is it attached to you, or is it attached to the house, or was it something you brought in, or is it your negative emotions, or are you in a bad spot mentally, like depression, PTSD? You know, is that what's causing these manifestations?
Sure. And those are all really interesting questions. And I tell you what, we'll get into that on the other side of our break. So hang on, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get deep here on the portal. So we'll be right back. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and Don is here with me in the studio, and tonight we are discussing dark entities and shadow people, and it's been a great discussion so far. I think you and I have covered some really cool ground, and if you missed the first half, you should go back and listen to it.
Go back and listen.
I don't know. On a podcast, can they miss the first half? Is that possible?
Well, no, not
unless you just push play and then go do something else.
Yeah,
and come back. It's like, oh, what'd they say? I missed it. Definitely rewind.
Yeah.
Definitely rewind, because I think we covered some really important stuff in the first half of the show. But we are now into the second half. And Don had just talked about what could be causing these infestations of things like shadow people and dark entities. And those are great, great ideas that you had regarding how do they get in there.
Right.
And you're right. I think somehow or another, they're attracted to that darkness. And one other thing, and you know, and this may be why it's almost impossible to get rid of them. And this just occurred to me just a moment ago, as you were talking about that. And you were talking about depression, and you were talking about anger and dark, you know, having dark feelings. And does that serve as a form of negative beacon for these things
I would say so.
Now, here's the thing, and everybody listening is going to be able to relate to this. How many of you people know someone that they are just negative. They are always negative. No matter what happens, what is told to them, they are always negative, and they always feel victimized, and they always feel taken advantage of, and they really harbor those kind of resentments.
Right.
Now, those, if indeed they are drawn by that darkness within people, and maybe they're trying to do the utilitarian thing and draw it out. But what if that's most of what a person is? You know,
no.
What, you know, I've known several people that were just so horribly negative, and it didn't matter how much sunshine I tried to blow into their lives. I couldn't even dent it. You couldn't even make a dent.
Yeah.
Momentarily, maybe. But, you know, as soon as you leave, they're back to just being them. And unfortunately, the them that they are is just really sad, dark, unhappy people that feel that the world has just done them wrong. You know? And if you're in that kind of broken place and your emotions are what are the beacon for these things to come around, then you're right. It doesn't matter what you do, because they are going to keep coming, because you are going to continue to radiate that same energy over and over and over and over. And until you change yourself, those kind of things are not going to go away.
I absolutely agree.
And unfortunately, the sad thing is that most people don't change themselves. We reach a certain point in our life and we kind of go, well, this is who I am, take it or leave it. And that's good enough. And then, and you know, quite honestly, most of the time it's not good enough. No. You know, I think people could do so much better, but I think it adds a whole new gravity to think that because of that darkness and because of that sadness and grief and helplessness that these people feel, and fear, I think they feel fear all the time too, because on top of every angry emotion is buried a whole bunch of fear. You know, the anger is just the manifestation
right,
of it.
Right.
But, you know, they're never going to get rid of it. They're never going to be able to cleanse and get away with that or get away from that.
Right.
So I think that that's really cool that you brought that up, and it definitely connected some dots for me, because I've always wrestled with that. Well, how is it not able to be cleansed? How can you not cleanse something out? Well, maybe you can. But if the person that lives there is still the same person drawing those same kind of things, then it's not going to matter what you do.
Right.
You could put them into the lap of Jesus and shadow people would still be hanging around, you know?
You know, that, and that's another thing too, is, you know, sometimes it takes a person to, you know, they can't get out of it on their own. So they go to a doctor or they go to a priest. And they quote unquote find God, or they get medication. As a matter of fact, one of the stories I was just looking at was talking about, well, you know, I made it go away. Finally, I went and saw a doctor and medication's wonderful. Well, that's only a temporary thing, because they're still going to be with you. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're not going to be seeing them or hearing them because you've altered your states. Now
you're numb.
Yeah. That's not making things better. That's just putting things off. So say you run out of those medications and you can't get them for a week, and then all these things come rushing back to you. Is it going to be, you know, 7 times worse,
right?
You know, because you've ignored them and now they're mad and they drive you insane in that 7 days, you know, that kind of thing, you know? So That's not dealing with it. I don't think that would be a way of dealing with it, because you're not purging your negative emotion. What you're doing is you're suppressing it with the drugs.
Right. It's so, just numbing. It's treating a symptom.
It's the comfortably numb syndrome.
Right. Yeah. There's no pain you are receiving.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I just think it's really important to, you know, look at yourself too. If you're dealing with a lot of dark things, there's a reason dark things are finding you. Now, some people like to grab onto the idea that, well, I'm dealing with dark things because, you know, I'm such a bright light. And I don't mean to take that away from anyone. That certainly could be. I think everybody's a bright light and has the potential to be amazing. But
I don't think dark entities are going to run to bright lights to bring them down
point.
Because they've got to have minions to bring you down.
Right.
So they're going to go feed on the negative and they're send them.
Right.
You know,
and that's the thing, is that they, if they truly do subsist on the negativity, on the fear, on the pain,
right,
then they're going to go to where there's a buffet of that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, old sucky buffet's open, you know,
Succubus Cafe right over here.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, let's go draw some energy from this
free dinner.
And you know, that's a widely held belief, is that, dark entities will try to make you afraid.
Right.
Because they need that fear. They need that fear to subsist, to, in some way or another, they feed upon that.
Right.
And it sustains them.
Right.
I don't know what happens if they don't have that, but you know what I mean? It's just that idea. So if you're broken and you're not getting fixed, you're going to be dealing with this over and over and over. Now, the shadow people, I would like to also point out, I think that in many cases, I think they're probably a lot rarer than most people think. People think that if I see a shadowy apparition, then it's a shadow person.
Right, right.
And that's certainly not the case. Now, we all have differing levels of ability to perceive the spirit world. And perhaps all you are capable of seeing is a shadowy outline. Perhaps you don't see the light, the aura or whatever. And then there's the point that it's widely believed that spirits can choose to appear however the hell they want.
Right.
So if they want to be 9 feet tall and look like a mountain giant, they can. If they want to be the size of a dark ball or light ball or whatever, they can. They have those abilities. So, you know, if you see a dark shadowy thing, it may be that there's an entity there, but it's trying to be unnoticed by you because you're perceiving them somewhat. So they just choose a dark and shadowy form, so they'll blend into the darkness around. You know, it's not necessarily intended to represent what they are. And right. Of course, if somebody sees a dark, and we see it all the time when reading stories, it's like, oh, I saw a shadow person. Well, you saw a shadowy apparition.
Yeah, you good know? Point. Yeah.
It's just not white
and look like a sheet.
So, and the difference, of course, is that shadow people are believed to feed on us in some way, that they oftentimes will target the very young or the very old and infirmed.
Right.
And they will draw on their life force. And you know, I don't know what to think about that other than that if that is the case, that's a pretty, you know, pretty sad and horrible thing, you know, to prey on those people in those weakened conditions. There's also a lot of belief that, you know, these dark spirits can cause disease and cause people to become infirmed. And that very well may be. Mm-hmm. But I think that, again, probably reflects somewhat on the ability of the person. If the person is actualized enough spiritually, they can keep themselves unharmed or unhindered
right.
by that kind of energy. But if you're already dark and negative on your own,
right.
and then you've got dark and negative things that are also trying to, you know, feed from you and weaken you, and you know, it could cause disease to generate just because, you know, you have
good point.
You have no ability to fight anything off because your energy level is so low from being drawn on, and you're dark and unhappy anyway, you know, and basically, you know, if you look at a lot of chronic disease research, there's a lot to be said for the person's fight. You know, the people can fight back on an emotional level and their body responds. But if somebody's absolutely drained and has no energy, you're not going to put up much of a fight, you know?
Right.
So there is that as well. And I think that's important to note too, I think. What do you think of that?
I think you're right, because, you know, if you're already, it's like, you know, a person can be bright and cheery and just, you know, and doing well and not having too many issues like this, mm-hmm. but say they go out every weekend and every weekend they're in trouble. You know, is it, you know, say they go out and drink, or they go out and do something that lowers their inhibitions, you know, and it creates havoc in their life. But during the week, everything's fine. But, you know, then you have repercussions of what happened that weekend, or, you know, you got pulled over and you got a DUI or whatever, you know, so you're using these things to lower your inhibitions that get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, these things, it's just like any addiction. You know, you start, you know, everything's fine. Oh, it's only once in a while. And then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the worse you get, the more attractive you become to these malignant spirits. Now, but then again, I mean, without using that analogy of, you know, people who, you know, some people who are fine that, you know, aren't having these issues, maybe they're seeing these shadows, like you said, and they're just an apparition, mm-hmm. not necessarily a malevolent spirit, but an apparition that, as you said, doesn't want to come out for whatever reason.
Right.
So by exploring their spirituality or exploring that empathy, you know, how did I feel when I saw it? You know, did it feel good? Did it feel bad? You know, and exploring these options, maybe it becomes a brighter light,
mm-hmm.
And comes out of the shadow and shares with them, or, you know, interacts in some way, or maybe, you know, they just realize that, hey, you know what, I've, you know, maybe the spirit's here to show you a way to some kind of enlightenment. It's done its job and it's gone, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, as you said, the difference in, so.
Right. And that's really important. I think that we are probably the key.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
We are probably the reason that, you know, these things are responding to that or not, mm-hmm. whether we're victims or whether we're, you know, actualizing ourselves in relation to that. And I think that you know, it's empowering to think about that and to know that, you know, a lot of times when we're confronted with spiritual issues, we don't feel real empowered. We feel really helpless.
Right.
You know, and that may be part of the psychological game for some of this is that, you know, we just don't understand. How are things moving? How are they moving on their own? Well, you know, they are. I don't know. I just think that we are incredibly capable of doing amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we haven't been taught that, you know, we've not been,
yeah.
we've not been shown the way. And here's in this is a little bit of a side avenue, but it's one of my biggest problems with a lot of organized religions is that they all teach of this perfect road or this grand road to this higher state of being. And they all tell stories of the amazing achievement of this high state of being. They show examples in the narratives of these high states of being, but none of them truly teach how to achieve that.
You know, that's interesting that you said that, because as soon as you started talking, I thought of so Christ, as an example, what came into being, and we know about his like first 12 or 13 years. Then all of a sudden he disappears for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And they say he was going through his trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what were his trials and tribulations right. that got him to this enlightenment?
Right.
And, you know, why did they not show me what they are? Because maybe it's happening to me. I understand that you have to travel your own path. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense to me, but at least, you know, we could see Christ being something other than Christ or, you know, the Son of God, we can see him being a fallible man
right.
or a fallible human,
right?
You know, instead of just going, oh,
yeah,
he's the Son of God and he shall die crucified and rise 3 days later.
Yeah.
You know, that gives you all the supernatural. It doesn't give you any of the actual natural.
Right.
There was no growth in there. It was just all of a sudden, here it is,
right.
you know? So there you go.
And that's I really believe is why, you know, maybe that was by design, you know, that way he could be accepted as a deity of sorts is, you know, and I'm not disparaging religion at all, ladies and gentlemen. First and foremost, whatever you believe.
Believe it all wholeheartedly.
Believe it with your whole heart. And as long as it gives you joy and happiness and makes you face your life with confidence and feeling good, then wonderful. I think it's beautiful.
Right.
I think religion is beautiful. Don't ever get me wrong, but I don't think it's infallible because it's being administered by people. And the failings of religion, just in a nutshell, is
the failings of the humans.
Well, exactly. It's like you're taking something divine and you're trying to bring it into human terms and understanding. And therein lies the problem. You can't bring the divine into human understanding. You have to bring the human into divine understanding. You know, we have to elevate ourselves to truly understand what it is these religions teach. And unfortunately, you know, example again, Christianity, Christian churches are you know, filled on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people that are, you know, bowing in reverence and taking communion and praying and singing and doing all the things that they're supposed to do. And then they leave and they're the same people that walked into that church. And that's not truly a religious experience. That's just a club, you know? And so there's no real teaching people how to come to divine understanding. Now we are human beings and we're fallible and all that, and we'll never truly be divine, in, you know, 100% of the time, but
right.
I think we can evolve, but I don't even know how we got here. I don't even know. But that, ladies and gentlemen, this is the portal. This is the way it works. We'll get back on the main topic. Eventually, we just sometimes take these journeys into the esoteric, and then we find our way back. But I think it has to do, again, with healing the person.
Right.
And that's how you take care of a lot of these dark hauntings.
Right.
If you look at something like demons, for instance. Now, I truly believe demon, the word demon is incredibly overused as well. That I don't believe that every negative haunting is a demon. I think sometimes negative hauntings are just human beings that have passed on that are a little pissed off for some reason. Right. There's something going on they're not liking. And it could be the fact that you took down their favorite wallpaper, or it could be the fact that, you dug up a grave in the yard by accident, or, something. I don't know. But just because something negative happens and it is a haunting, so many people want to say, demon, that's a demon. I know what this demon. And I think, here's the thing with demons. I think that a lot of investigators like to drop that word because automatically it's like street cred.
Sensationalism.
It's street cred for investigators. Like, oh, we battled a demon over on Fifth today. I'll tell you what, it's like.
And all it was doing was turning somebody's water on and off.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was a water demon, I swear.
It was one of
them. Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's just. And I think that that's the problem. Of course, it lends credibility. It's a sensational term to think, wow, Phil over there, he just exercised a demon over on Fifth. It's a fantastic idea.
Right.
But I don't think that there are nearly as many demons around as people claim. I think that they are there. I don't ever mean to imply that there's not demonic forces around. There are. But they're probably not turning on your faucet for kicks.
Right.
If there is a demon around, it's going to be in completely targeted to right. a person.
It's not going to be haunting your house.
And here's the other part, is that if you do have a demon, it doesn't want you to know it's there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't walk around going, yep, demon's in the house. Y'all better start shaking and get to running because I'm a demon. No, it doesn't do that. A demon is going to come into your life somehow. And they're going to come in as subtle as a whisper, mm-hmm. and they're going to sit in the shadows and watch and watch and watch. And they're going to start slowly, incredibly slow. Because when you're dealing with the spirit world, ladies and gentlemen, they have nothing but time. If 10 years go by for a spirit, that's nothing. So in the case of a demon, it's even more nothing because, they were never human. These things have always been spirit of some form. However you believe they became demons, that's up to you and your paradigm, but it's a war of attrition. It's an idea that pops into your head that's totally foreign. It's dark thoughts. It's feeling like everybody's talking to you. It's like having a dark cloud around your head for a long time, and you just can't seem to find happiness. It's like an umbrella of blackness blocking your sun, and you're always in the shadow. And then you're going to notice changes in people. Now, if people are already at the point where they're starting to change, this has already gone on for quite a long time.
Right.
So this is not just something like, hey, obviously he just picked something up yesterday because he's real crabby today. No, if they're actually getting their mood changed already and becoming someone else, this is already getting pretty advanced because it is the... this being exerting a force over a person for a long time enough to change their state of being, their nature. And it's hard for people to change their nature. And most often people don't change their nature. So, if somebody's nature changes abruptly, either there's something psychologically going on or they could have something really dark attached to them. Now, a demon doesn't want you to know until it's, and even then it's usually discovered by accident, mm-hmm. That something is, some kind of clue is dropped or figured out and boom, oh my God, this could be a demon. Let's get the priest over here and let's get an exorcist. Let's get, let's get going and a shaman or whatever, whatever methodology you use to attack that and get it out of the situation. So, your cereal bowl moves is not a demon because it doesn't want you to know it's there. It wants to be hidden. It wants to be in stealth. It wants to do what it's doing because that is the, that's its purpose. is to undo a person and to, corrupt. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, people use these terms like demon all the time, but I don't think they understand the true methodology of a demon is not, it is not boisterous. It's not, it's like a serpent, you know, crawling through the weeds. You know, it doesn't walk up, go, hey, I'm a snake and I'm going to eat that rat. No, they get up to it right away, and then they, you know, start coiling around it, and suddenly, boom, and then they've got it, and there's no escape for the rat. Well, that's very much the same thing for any kind of predator, is that they do it in such a way as to not alert the prey.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying there are no demons, but I'm saying the term gets overused, and I think it's used incredibly incorrectly. And I don't think that in 99% of the cases, and those are demons at all. So just, you know, my opinion on that. But I think that, you know, if you truly do have a demon, you know, you're already going to be in a hell of a battle, because these are not small things. These are not just a little ghost walking and creating footsteps in the hall. These are. Right. These are forces of nature, and these are, you know, principalities and however you want to refer to them. They are incredibly powerful beings, and it is truly a battle for the life of that person. Many exorcisms don't end well. A true exorcism, many people don't survive. You know, a lot do, and those, of course, are the ones you hear about, but there's a lot that don't. And so, you know, I just think these terms get thrown around a lot, and I think it's based in a lack of understanding, because it sounds incredible. It sounds sensational to throw around the word demon. I was dealing with a demon. Well, you don't ever want to be dealing with a demon. You don't ever want to be dealing with a demon. That's not something you throw around lightly. Now,
right.
In terms of demons, here's the thing. I find this interesting, and this is something you and I have discussed quite a few times, Don, and I've mentioned it on a live show as well, but I find it very interesting. To name a demon is to call it to you, and there's a lot of belief in that. So don't ever drop demonic names lightly. You could be summoning something to you, just for the record. And then again, you know, once they become aware of you, they have nothing but time. They're going to wait and watch and learn everything they can about you in order to corrupt you. So if you name a demon, it draws it to you and it gives it power. But during the rites of exorcism for the Catholic Church, they try to admonish the demon to name itself. If it names itself, it's weakened.
It gives you power over.
Right. Yeah. And so there is something to that. There's something very profound to that, that for some reason the name carries power. And now I know a lot of First Nation tribes believe this too. Naysay, our friend, has told us this many times, that you know, the name is power, and that's why he only uses Naysay and not the whole First Nation's name, the Anishinaabe name of that was given him. Mm-hmm. Is because once you release that, you release part of your power. And so that's interesting as a correlation, don't you think?
I do. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I think it's very, very profound. And very interesting. Again, you know, these podcasts in and of themselves are never going to be
conclusive
and the complete story. But I think it's important to talk about this, because these ideas are thrown around all the time. And I really think incorrectly so. And the internet is full of paranormal subject matter, but not a lot of it is accurate, in my opinion. There's a lot of bad information about there around. Right. And you know, I just think it's part of our mission is just to try to create a better understanding of what these things are, create a better understanding of the nature of these things. Because if you know something's nature, then you know a bit of what it does and how to defend yourself. Again, first and foremost, human hauntings, 99% are not bad. They are just misunderstood. There are some bad human hauntings. Don't get me wrong. There's some really, really negative bastards out there, and they don't like anybody else in their space. And, you know, they may defend it vigorously, and it'll be an aggressive haunt. Again, shadow people. Don covered mm-hmm. a bunch of stuff about the shadow people. Very interesting points. They may very well be part of keeping balance in that they absorb that negative energy and they feed on it.
Keeping your balance.
And it becomes a good thing. But, you know, again, if a person is broken, they're going to continue to summon those things. And you need to work hard on yourself if you're dealing with something negative, because you don't want to keep feeding them with your quirks.
Right. Yeah.
So, but I think that is about all I've got, brother. Already? You got anything else?
Well, no, not really. Other than thank you for downloading and listening to us. And, you know, if you have any questions or comments, Brent mentioned, you know, get a hold of us. That would be paranormalportalradio@gmail.com.
Yes.
And, you know, if you want to tell a story, you know, you can certainly do that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Submit your stories. If you have some stories of your own that you'd like shared, we would love to do that. Paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. Any announcements for the show will be made on our Facebook page. So it'll help keep you up to date on what's going on with the portal. But that is facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. And subscribe to us on YouTube. Check it out. If you want to see Don and I do the magic that it is that we do, you can
just... As crazy as it is.
And I said magic with a smile on my face. But you can check it out. It's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. Twitter for the Paranormal Portal is @paranormalPORTL. So they didn't give me enough room for the last A, so it's Paranormal Portal. So we are out there, and we're excited to be a part of your days. And this podcast is released 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Mondays are the spirits, ghosts, that kind of stuff. Wednesdays are the UFOs and related topics. And Fridays are all about cryptids, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Dogmen. You know, any cryptid, we're going to cover it there. So just to give you an idea of the subject matter, but we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Have a great night, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.